Random House Audio presents If I Loved You, I Would Tell You This. Stories by Robin Black. Read for you by Mark Deakins, Kimberly Farr, Anne-Marie Lee, and Kirsten Potter.
The Guide. Read by Mark Deakins. At 17, Jack Snyder's daughter is slender-faced and long of limb, and still able to startle her father with her seeming certainty about everything she thinks. They're driving along roads he doesn't yet know, on their way to meet her first seeing-eye dog, and she is wearing polka-dotted sunglasses, a long jean skirt, and a shirt with the words, "If you can read this T-shirt, maybe you can tell me what it says." A kid from her school ordered them in the dozens, and Lila bought three in different shades.
"You're sure they aren't identical?" she questioned her mother at the time. "I don't want my teachers thinking I never change my clothes."
"Believe me, Lila," Ann Snyder said, "I don't want your teachers thinking you never change your clothes either." As Jack scans the road for signs, Lila is proclaiming to him in those certain tones of hers that if it weren't for being quite so blind and having to have one, she'd definitely never get a dog. Never. Never ever. And her father is trying to follow her, trying to respond appropriately. But thoughts of Miranda Hamilton compete with the girl's words. Miranda Hamilton unbuttoning her jeans the night before, sliding them down her thighs, stepping panty-clad from the denim pooled at her feet. Miranda Hamilton unbuttoning his suit pants, leaving them bound around his legs until he kicked them off. Miranda's cropped blonde hair fading into soft, colorless down along the back of her neck. Miranda laughing as she filled her mouth with bourbon from Jack's glass and held the fluid there, smiling while it drizzled from her lips until he kissed her and swallowed it himself. Miranda whispering to Jack, her mouth still whiskey damp, just to lie back, lie still, while she moved her hips in something close to perfect circles over him. Just lie still. Just lie still. Just lie still.
"Really, Dad, they're so obsequious," Lila says, and Jack has to remind himself what they're talking about.
Guide dogs. They're talking about guide dogs.
The whole alpha male pack mentality thing. Cats don't give a shit about anyone, right?
Her father swerves around a pothole and senses her sway beside him, unprepared. It's an early spring day, and they are into the long weeks between the damage done by ice and snow and the repair work to come.
"That's certainly their reputation," Jack says. "Cats are undomesticatable, too wild."
"I find that infinitely more appealing."
Jack nods silently, an assent he knows his daughter cannot see.
"Maybe I could have the first ever seeing eye cat," Lila crosses her arms. "Some real haughty feline with attitude."
"You mean like you?"
But his daughter shakes her head.
"No."
She turns her face toward the breeze of the open window, lifting her sunglasses.
"No," she repeats. "I'd want a guide cat who really doesn't give a flying fuck."
She draws an audible breath through her nose.
"Manure?
We're in farm country now." He says it quietly as he looks around outside. Rolling hills of tilled soil settle dark brown against the clear blue sky. Occasional red barns dot the land, appealing in their melancholic disrepair. The scenery is picture postcard beautiful, but he keeps that to himself. For now, anyway. Later in the day, maybe after dinner, he'll call Miranda, and he'll tell her all about how lovely the landscape looked. And then maybe he'll tell her once again how painful these moments of unshared beauty can be. Standing in the farthest reaches of his backyard, he'll hold his cell phone close against his mouth so he won't have to shout, and he'll close his eyes as he describes to her again how solitary he so often feels with his sightless daughter by his side. How among all the things for which he might feel guilt, there's always this one mountainous inequity that he can see and Lila cannot.
"Is it pretty?" Lila asks.
"We're out in the sticks. It's okay."
He pictures Miranda pacing her kitchen, phone in hand, running an exasperated hand through her hair.
"This isn't your strength, Jack. You have to learn to let go."
"Yeah, I figured as much."
Lila turns her head his way.
Are there cows?
A little way back there were. Black Angus, I think. Big and dark.
Sounds nice, Dad.
But Jack only murmurs a neutral sound, and Lila turns away, facing forward again.
The thing is, she says, I just can't imagine raising a dog and then giving it away. Even if I don't much like dogs, it still sounds like an elaborate form of masochism.
But Jack can't find the word he wants, and he's pretty sure he's just missed their turn. Damn it, I think we're lost. No, wait, this must be right. It's a good deed, he says. It's something these guide dog people want to do. He's your dog, and they know that from day one, so they don't get attached.
Yeah, right, Dad. Do you really believe that? That you can just tell yourself not to get attached?
You don't seem so thrilled about me going to college. Why didn't you just tell yourself not to get attached?
Very funny.
But she's right, of course. Who is he to assume anyone can tell themselves what to feel? He's always been unable to tell his heart a goddamn thing.
Very clever, Lila, he says. But it's the system. It's how this guide dog business works. And since we benefit from the system for once, I'm not going to argue with it. There we go. Sharp turn left.
He gives her the warning, and at the edge of his vision sees her brace herself for the curve, hands gripping her seat.
Hang on, babe. This looks bumpy. Dirt road.
I think I can handle it. Bumps in the road are my speciality.
Lila has her head turned to the open window again, holding the door, her thick, dark curls flying in the breeze.
Maybe there's something wrong with me, she says, but I actually like the smell of manure.
No, her father draws in a deep breath of the sour, full air, savoring the simple fact that they're smelling the same thing, a relief from all the sights they never share.
I agree with you, baby. It's a strangely pleasing smell.
And by the way, so is skunk.
Absolutely, he agrees, remembering the pungent, oddly twisting scent of Miranda's sweating skin.
Absolutely, he tells his daughter. So is skunk.
Lila was six, playing in the garage of a neighboring family the Snyders didn't really know, when an aerosol can of orange spray paint blew up in her face. And for a long time after that, many years, Jack was stuck on that one simple fact, on the tenuous, fleeting nature of the acquaintanceship. Almost as though the same accident, with the same result, in the home of a close friend would have somehow made more sense. But none of it made any sense, of course. He knew that. You could turn the thing around, replay it endless times, and you would. You would. And you would. And you would. But none of it made any sense at all. There you are one fine October day, living your life pretty much as you had planned, your lawyer's shingle hanging up, white and shiny outside your solo practice downtown, tranquilly married to your wife of 8 years, whom you've managed still to love, though so many of your friends have clearly, even openly, tired of theirs. Doting on your 6-year-old daughter, whom you adore, with the not-so-secret sense that she's a little prettier, a little smarter, and a lot more special than other people's kids. Enjoying your smug, self-congratulatory thoughts about the way fatherhood refocuses priorities. Long gone are the days when you were known as a bit of a skirt chaser, back in the single years. The days when anything held the same appeal as tossing a ball in the backyard with your kid. And then a fucked-up aerosol can of orange paint blows up in your daughter's face, in the garage of a boy she doesn't really know. The first few weeks flew by in waiting rooms filled with cold cups of coffee and shifts of relatives taking turns. Bits and pieces of news were conveyed by strangers who came to him fresh from delving into his child's face. Some good. The eyes wouldn't have to come out. There were deep cuts on her jaw, but they would fade over time. She had been knocked unconscious by something that had fallen off the wall, a wheelbarrow, Jack eventually found out. And this was excellent news, too, the doctor said. This would limit Lila's memory of what they called the event. But then, in the center of it all, whatever salvage might be found among the wreckage, there was the conversation, the now inevitable talk Jack began having with his daughter, 6 years old, and emerging so untidily from all the anesthesia, all the painkillers, emerging so he could tell her, not once, but many times, that she would never see again. 6 years old, he would think as he spoke the words. She doesn't understand for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?